This is HPR episode 1673, entitled How I Use CFS on Linux, and is part of the series File Systems. It is hosted by first-time host Mitchell Sierashinsky aka Mindbender and is about 17 minutes long. The summary is the CFS file system and how I use it under Linux.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hey everybody, this is Michael, aka Mindbender, recording my first podcast for Hacker Public Radio. Wanted to speak to you guys a little bit about some of the things that I'm into. I've been using Linux off and on for the last 10 years or so. I started out with Fedora Core 2 way back in the day, and honestly at the time I had very little knowledge base about Linux in general. However, since that time, I've used it on a number of devices, actually put together a few servers that I've used for storing files around my house. What I want to speak to you guys today about is something that I know has already been discussed on the Hacker Public Radio, is the ZFS file system. It is a very powerful, and as they say, the last word in file systems. Very powerful tool that we have in the open source community. Now, ZFS has been around for a number of years at this point, and is very stable file system. But it originates mostly from Sun Microsystems, now Oracle, originally used in the Solaris operating system, was ported over to the BSDs, and honestly I feel that it is the BSD's killer feature. Licensing makes it a bit of an issue. It's released under a open source but license, but it's not compatible with the GPL that Linux is, so unfortunately it has never been compiled into Linux itself. But it can be used in various ways with Linux. Two ways I know of is the Fuse file system, which I'm honestly not that knowledgeable about because I've never used this method. I've been told it might be slower. If anybody else wants to comment on that, please do. But also, there is also a project known as the ZFS on Linux project. Now, more information about this project can be found at zfsonlinux.org. As they say on their main website, it's a native Linux kernel port of the ZFS file system, so it actually works at the kernel level. And they have pre-compiled binaries as well as repositories for a number of distributions. Looking on their website right now, I see, of course, Debian, Ubuntu, Fedora being three of them, but also Arch Linux, Sabayon, as well as RHEL and CentOS. It is now been reported to be stable on Linux. The ZFS on Linux port is stable in Linux and is felt to be ready to use in a production environment. I have been using ZFS on Linux for approximately 1.5 years on my own home server. I have it was a Debian 7.0 based server that I was running the XFCE desktop environment on. However, I recently have switched over to Ubuntu 14.04, mainly because it's a long-term support release, as well as it seems to work very well under the Mate desktop, which is, of course, a re-implementation of the GNOME 2.0 series of desktop environments. And whenever I first started putting together a server back in the day, I think it was in the Ubuntu 10 era that it originally used GNOME 2. So it has worked very well thus far. I'm using, like I said, it's Ubuntu 14.04 with the Mate desktop. It is not the recent respin that was put out with Ubuntu 14.04 with Mate. I added the repositories separately. However, it seems to work very well the way I've put it together. I haven't had any issues with updating or anything like that. ZFS is, I do feel, the final say in file systems. It is robust. It has copy on write protection. It basically treats multiple disks as one large pool. So the nice thing about that is if you have, you can set it to be basically for high fault tolerance. If you lose one disk, assuming that you've done it correctly, you will still have a file system. And going through commands, using the command line, you can actually remove the faulted disk and put it back, put a new disk in its place. You can set it up to be similar to RAID 5 or even RAID 6. So basically, you can lose one disk or two disks, and you've still got a working file system. Now, the one thing to keep in mind is that ZFS is not a substitute for a backup. While it does have snapshotting, which I forgot to mention earlier, which basically means that it will be able to make a snapshot in time of your file system, and you can go back and retrieve files that may have been deleted. These are not backups. There is still nothing that can replace a backup, let's say, to another computer, to a USB drive, or even to something like CrashPlan, which is an online backup system that is compatible with Linux, as well as other operating systems, including Windows and OS X. There are even some guides on certain distros that show you how to make it your root file system. Now, on my server, my root file system is still ext4, and I use the ZFS as sort of the area to store audio files, video files, family pictures, and things like that. But for the brave ones among you out there who would like to try something like that, I believe Arch Linux actually has a guide on their website to show you how to do that. Now, out in BSD land, there are ways to, and I think that that there actually is a natively supported file system, so it is supported that you can install that to a root partition and use that as your main file system. Now, I have had a few problems with ZFS, and I should restate that. It's actually not a problem with ZFS. It's problems with certain hard drives. My current server setup is 5 3-terabyte hard drives set with a fault tolerance of 1. So basically, I can lose one drive and maintain the ZFS pool. Now, I ran into an issue where I lost two drives at one time, and therefore my ZFS pool was gone. I was not able to use it. Luckily, I had all my files backed up on another computer and didn't have to worry about that. However, it is something to keep in mind. One idea, if someone's going to put together a pool such as this, a ZFS pool, is to get drives from different batches. So basically, I think it's a bad idea to buy all your drives at one time. Might be a better idea to get them from various places, Amazon, Newegg, Tiger Direct, or even a local business, if you're lucky to have one nearby, that would be able to sell you a drive or two. And you'll probably have better luck than I had with that setup. Now, I don't want to jump on one drive for being more reliable than another drive, or a company being more reliable than another drive or another company as far as hard drive manufacturing goes. However, there is a website called Backblaze, BackBlaze.com, who they run a multitude of servers in their company, and they actually did a drive life study inside their company, and the results can basically be found out at on their website, which I will place in the show notes. Might be something to think about when you purchase a hard drive for your rig. So I just wanted to let everyone know about the ZFS file system. I know it's been discussed before on Hacker Public Radio. Keep in mind, this is my first podcast that I've ever recorded. I'm hoping to do some more in the future. And I thought, since I do listen to quite a few HPR episodes, that I might as well contribute as well. And also, before I go, I just wanted to thank JWP, who did a ZFS file system podcast on Hacker Public Radio's HPR number 1600 on, I think it was September 19th, 2014. He had some very good information about the ZFS file system, and especially about reasons why it is not included by default in Linux, related to its licensing issues. And he has a very good handle on that. So I recommend you to go back and listen to that podcast as well. Once again, thank you very much. Look forward to doing something like this again in the future.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.